Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Now, if you need one of our Bible studies, if you'll raise your hand, they will bring you one. It's a yellow sheet. Mine's white here. It's a yellow sheet. And we are looking at some character qualities, and I wanted you to know, I tried to get cute with this thing and mess the margins up, and it's not as pretty as it's been in the past. I'm sorry about that. But we have looked at all these different qualities, and I want us to look at them again tonight and go to the 18th one, okay? Now, folks, you're committed when you're in on an 18-part series. And I just want to commend you. You're saying, well, you better give me something good, or I don't know if I'll be here forever. But anyway, no. Are y'all out there? I'm trying to, you know. Anyway, we have been in these qualities, okay? Look at them. Alertness, and you got to have your reading glasses on almost to see these things. Alertness, joyfulness, boldness, initiative, responsibility, patience, availability, dependability, a clear conscience, determination, courage, loyalty, attentiveness, meekness, contentment, deference. Well, that's a great quality, deference. And then prudence. Tonight, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13, and I think this is one of the most powerful qualities that any Christian could cultivate in their life to determine to be an encourager of others. Encouragement. We're going to look at a fella in the scripture that really only encouraged, at least we know of his encouragement in only two lives and what an impact he made. But in the scripture here, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort. Now that's the phrase. The word comfort there is another way to say the word encouragement. Be encouraged of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Encouragement, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Really, I think we could all stand up and give a testimony about this, but all of us are products of encouragers, aren't we? Someone who took the time to be a blessing to us in our lives. And folks, sometimes we forget what it meant to us, and we don't realize that our words to someone else, our involvement in someone's life, how much it can encourage them and literally shape the course of their life. I could go on and on about people, different ones that have encouraged me, but I'm not going to go into that because I want to finish up this Bible study. Now, look at Acts, the fourth chapter. I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 36. Acts, chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, or that could be Joseph, that's another way to say the word Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, your blank there is really the word Joseph. It's kind of I'm trying to do a little switch on you, because if I ask you, hey, who is the most famous Joseph in the Bible, we would think about Mary and Joseph, that Joseph, not Joseph who was surnamed Barnabas. Barnabas is a guy that didn't really get tons of accolades, but he was a person who was an encourager. Matter of fact, he had a nickname. What's your nickname? When I was a little kid, sometimes people called me Mr. Boo. My dad was a school teacher, and he had a little name tag made for me, Mr. Boo. And then sometimes people would call me Red because I had red hair, although it wasn't red, it was orange. actually. But anyway, but do you have a nickname? What are you known for? What you, normally, someone's nickname kind of goes along with maybe a trait that they have or something they've done or something that would kind of give you a hint of who they are. I don't know what your nickname was, but Joseph's nickname was Barnabas, and Barnabas means the son of encouragement. So he was an encourager, and I want us to think about what would it take for us to be an encourager of others. And I'd love for all of us to leave here saying, every day of my life, I want to encourage someone. It's like Cecil said, when we go outside those doors, there's always something to bring us down and to discourage us. I think about our children, you know, that are working on their little assignments tonight, and they've been in choir tonight, and some of them are not in here right now, but they're involved. What if we could, as they are around us in this church, we could encourage them in some way? It would make a difference. Now, go to the book of Acts. We're going to just go through Acts quickly and look at the different ways Barnabas, qualities of his life as an encourager. If you look at Acts chapter 11, just go over a few pages there to Acts chapter 11. When you have an encourager, that's a blessing. But can I say this? When the encourager is someone who has a testimony of their own, someone who is a person of character, and they are your encouragers, it makes a huge difference. And so here is number two. He was respected by others. To be an encourager, you need to have character in your own life and to have that respect of others, because then your words of encouragement carry weight. You see? Your words of encouragement carry weight. In Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 24, it says this: Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. These are the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So let's just get the context. Up to this time, the gospel was only going to the Jews. Well, now we're in a transitional period. The book of Acts is so exciting because you see how the gospel transitioned and made a difference in the Gentiles. All right? Verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man. Here's a testimony about him. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. Barnabas was known as a man of integrity, a man of character. He was a good man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That means controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, as an encourager, his words carried weight because of who he was. So I just want to say this to you. It's one thing to encourage, but it's altogether even more powerful when the person doing the encouraging is a person who is greatly respected. And by the way, it's interesting that with all the disciples, the ones we know about, there are gospels named for them. These are the people that were with Jesus when we read about Jesus' life in the gospels. When the gospel began to go to the Gentiles, you think that's a pretty big thing? I do. I think that's a pretty big deal. Who did they send? They sent Barnabas. That's interesting to me. This person, Barnabas, was greatly respected by the apostles. So much so that when they wanted someone to go check out how the gospel was spreading to the unknown peoples of the world, they sent Barnabas. So I just use that as a context for us to realize what kind of a person he was. And then if you look over in verse chapter 13, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, there's his name, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they were sent out. So they were respected. They were involved in the ministry. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now in Acts chapter 14, let's go over to number 3. In Acts chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, God was using them so powerfully that the people wanted to worship them. They were on that missionary trip, and Barnabas and Saul were preaching, and miracles were happening, and the people were wanting to worship them. Now look at verse 12. This is Acts 14, verses 12 through 15. And Barnabas they called Zeus. These were Greek gods that they were, they said, these guys have power, and so let's give them these names. And Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Verse 13, then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes, and they ran among the multitude, crying out, saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea and all the things that are in them. And so whenever praise came to him and to Paul, it says, they said, wait a minute, and they tore their clothes. They said, no, 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 glorify the Lord, don't glorify us. And so number 3 is he lived to glorify the Lord only. You want to be an encourager. If you're going to encourage others, you've got to realize that God's the one gets the glory, and God can use you to be an encouragement in other people's lives, but it will not carry the weight if you're a person wanting glory for yourself. Okay? Now, go to Acts chapter 9, and we'll close out with this principle here. This is really where I was headed. Don't you love it when a pastor says that? I like the one when pastors say, I'm in closing. You never know how much longer they're going to go, do you? In closing, one guy said it's like a touch and go. You know, in an airplane, they'll come in for a landing and then they touch and then they keep going. Pastors do that, you know. In closing, I just like, and then they get off on something else, you know. So anyway, like I'm doing right now, right? Okay. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. Look at this. Let me give you the principle. He valued potential in people. Do you realize that one person that you may lead to Jesus could be the next Billy Graham? Do you realize, you know, we don't have to go far in our church to think about the impact this church has had on individual people. You know, I don't know why this just came to me. Some of y'all will know this name. A young man named Mike Lopez currently works in Richmond at the IMB. Mike Lopez was a student at UF, came to North Central Baptist Church. The Lord sent him to Taiwan. He has been probably 30 years with the International Mission Board. Mike Lopez was just a guy in college walking around the people of this church at one day. But Mike Lopez has touched hundreds of lives. And let me say this, the people he's touched have touched others. We'll never know it. We'll never know the ripple effect of that. But see, to impact people in that way, you have to see potential in people. And that's what an encourager does. And when you have this mindset and you realize, you know, I don't know, you know, this assignment that I have in the church, I don't know that this is going to make a big impact, but you know what, you say, you know what, but it could. There's somebody I could touch and I could make a difference in their life. I could encourage them and see great potential in their life. Well, Barnabas was that kind of person. Acts 9:26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and he did not believe that he was a disciple. Well, that makes sense, because Saul was a persecutor of the church. I wouldn't have given him the time of day. I would have thought, this guy is a turncoat. This guy is trying to get in with us, and then he's going to destroy us. He's already killed other followers of Jesus, or at that time they called it followers of the way, the truth, and the life. And so why would they believe him? But look, Barnabas took an interest. He saw, listen, potential in Saul. You think he picked a good guy to see potential in? The Apostle Paul? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Now, this is another statement about how Barnabas was respected. On the testimony of one man, the apostles received Saul. That's pretty big. And he saw potential in Saul. And we know the rest is history. But he also saw it in one other person. We only know, listen, of two people that he particularly mentored and particularly encouraged. One was Saul, and the other one was a young man, probably a teenager or maybe a little older than a teenager, named John Mark. We know him as Mark, okay? In Acts chapter 15, verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, they had been on a missionary journey together, Paul and Barnabas. He said, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul, boy, Paul was a control guy. Paul was a powerful leader. I mean, he was a lion. And it says, and Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. They were on a missionary journey, and John Mark got homesick. You ever know anybody get homesick? You ever know anybody? Boy, I tell you what, I've been to youth camp. Good night. I've been to so many youth camps. It's exciting, though, to think about it, but I mean, it's also depressing, okay? But anyway, no. I've been to so many youth camps, but so many times, especially with younger teenagers, they get homesick. And, you know, I want to go home. I want to go home. And so John Mark got homesick, and he left them. And Paul never forgot that. Paul was a leader, said, you're either with me or you're not with me. And if you're not with me, he wrote him off. So he insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia. And they had not, that had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention, you see, they had a little conflict here. The contention was so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And that's the last we know about Barnabas. You have a chance to be in the most dynamic ministry on the planet. Just imagine it. You have a chance to be your name associated with the biggest name in ministry. You stick with that person and your name will be in lights. The problem is there's this person over here you want to encourage, and the person who you were linked up with doesn't want them to go. What are you going to do? Well, Barnabas said, you know what? I'm going to go with John Mark here. Paul, you're going to be fine. You go. And Paul took Silas. Paul and Silas. Look at verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and departed. You remember in the book of Philippians, you know, in Philippi, in the book of Acts, in Philippi, they were locked up in prison and they sang and the earthquake came and their chains were open and they were singing at midnight. That was not Paul and Barnabas, that was Paul and Silas. We don't know a whole lot more after this on Barnabas. But we know he saw potential in John, in little John Mark. And it became so important to him that he left Paul in order to encourage that one. I don't know what price you'll pay to encourage someone, but I want to encourage you to be an encourager. Now, later on, what ended up happening, you may know this story, but I'm just going to share it with you real quickly. Over in the book of Colossians, if you want to look at it quickly, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, this is Paul. He said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. Turns out Barnabas and John Mark were cousins, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So Paul is writing Colossians, and John Mark is hanging around ministry now. John Mark is not bailing out. John Mark has been encouraged. He had someone see potential in him, and so he's mentioned there. Also, he's mentioned in the book of Philemon. This is a one-chapter book of the Bible, right after Titus and right before Hebrews. In Philemon, verse 24, it says this. Well, let me read 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborer. So he's mentioned again. So here's Mark in ministry again. Well, at the tail end of the Apostle Paul's life, he has a change of heart about John Mark. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, the Scripture says, he says, this is 2 Timothy 4:11, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, only Luke is with me. He says this, get Mark and bring him with you. And then he says this, and I know this had to encourage John Mark. He says, for he is useful to me for ministry. If Paul had had his way, John Mark would have been discarded. Barnabas would have gone with him. But Barnabas, listen, saw potential in people. What a quality. What a character trait of God's people to be encouragers. And my prayer is that we would determine that we would be encouragers. Now, John Mark gave us the Gospel of Mark. Because he was, we're not going to read it, but 1 Peter 5:13, Peter talks about Mark being with him. Peter took over from Barnabas and mentored Mark, and Mark gave us the Gospel of Mark. And of course, Paul gave us much of the New Testament epistles. One man influencing, as best we know, two key men, and the rest is history. Can I tell you this? When you look into the eyes of some little child, or some teenager, some college student, some peer, even someone older, and you look them in the eye and you say to them, God is moving in your life, and I see him moving. And you encourage him, you will never know what God can do through that encouragement. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.